It's wonderful to see everybody here, and of course we're all here except for the 5pm people who have another special treat happening for them tonight with Joe speaking then. Last week we were travelling to Albany, and when we were driving down the Albany Highway just about to get into Albany, we saw this sign, warning, low-flying aircraft. And Neil and I looked at each other and said, what are we supposed to do about that? Are we supposed to get our heads down or something? And so for the next few minutes, we discussed, what do you do when there's a low-flying aircraft and you're in a car? And came to the conclusion that it was so you didn't get surprised. If the plane went over you close by, you didn't swerve off the road. You kept steadily on in your journey. Some of you will have been to Broome. And in Broome, the airport is very close to downtown. And if you're there shopping and suddenly you hear this terrible noise and then you look up and then the plane doesn't seem to be very high above you, you have the same reaction, except you're not driving a car, so you don't swerve off the road. I want us to think this morning about what we do when we're in a difficult situation. Do we swerve off the road and get into more danger? Or do we understand what's happening? And in this series that we're doing, in fact, we're finishing today, we've been talking about how Mark presents to us what Jesus does to prepare his disciples. We started out thinking about bread because Jesus is very good at taking ordinary things of life, like airports and plain signs like that, taking ordinary things of life and teaching us through them. And so he's taught us through calming a storm. He's taught us through bread. He's taught us from saying, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. There are so many things that Jesus has taught us. And in particular, prepared his disciples, and so he prepares us for the journey ahead. And so I want to look at some of those today towards the end of Jesus' ministry from Mark chapter 13. Because Jesus isn't set his face to Jerusalem. In fact, he's in Jerusalem at this time. And these northern disciples are looking at the wonder of the temple and they're wondering what's going to happen to that because they're gradually getting an understanding of Jesus as Messiah, as a different kind of Messiah from what they're expecting. And then there's this wonderful temple there. And so they start asking him questions. And as Jesus usually does, he takes those ordinary experiences of their lives and he teaches them about what's to come. And he's teaching them about what's to come because he's going to die. He knows that. They haven't taken it in very well. But they need to be prepared so that they're not thrown off course. They don't swerve off the road because they find that Jesus is doing something that they're not expecting. And so his teaching here is about what is to come so that you hold steady to the course, so that you know what is happening. This is some of what Jesus says. It's not working, Cara. Can you go to the next one? This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13. And we're not reading the whole chapter, but I'm going to pick things out. And I want you to see, first of all, from these verses, that he's not telling them when all of this is going to happen. He's not telling them why, where it's going to happen or how, but he's telling them to be aware. And I've called this message, be watch, but don't worry, or be alert, but not alarmed. Because Jesus is leading them in that middle path, knowing what is happening, knowing what is going to happen, but still hold them steady on the course. So he says, when you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. I'll read it from Mark 13. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains. So Jesus is telling them about some of the things that are going to happen. But each time he says, you must be on your guard. And then over in verse 25, he says, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds and with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the kingdom. But about that time and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. So every time he tells them about what's going to happen, he says, be on guard, be alert, watch, and you won't know when it will happen. I'm stressing that because down through the years, many Christians have wasted a lot of time speculating about when Jesus will come. And we've had 2,000 years of failed predictions. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm preparing you for what is going to happen in the future. But you need to stay steady on the course, be alert, but not alarmed. And one of the ways in which Jesus will tell them how to do that is to say to them, I want to give you some advice. Now, many of you will know that this particular DFES warning system has just been changed. So the colours are up to date. If you read your Horizons magazine and your RAC membership, these are the latest colours. So I'm saying that just so that Riley doesn't say to me, you've got the colours wrong. Okay. There are three warnings when a bushfire is approaching. There's an advice warning. Well, there is a bushfire. Keep an eye out for smoke, but just go on with your life. And then there's the middle one, the watch and act. We used to live in the hills and had forest all around us. And one time we got that kind of warning. So my son, who was home with me at the time, we did all the things that you were supposed to do to get ready for the fire. And then we turned the water on again on the for one last watering of the front of the house and discovered there was no water. We know what it's like to watch and act. And then there is the warning, the emergency warning, the red warning that says, get out of there, go somewhere that's safe. And I know there's at least one family in this church that had to do that kind of run away during the Gidgiganup fire recently. But I want to suggest to you that in that those levels of watching and act, the advice one, well, you just know in general, but you're not doing anything about it. The watch and act one, which says, watch what's happening and be ready to act. And then there's the runaway one. I want to suggest that what Jesus is saying here is that middle one. That is, watch what's happening and know what you will do in certain circumstances, but stay steady on the course. And that is what Jesus is telling them to do here. He's giving them pictures of what the future might be. Nation may rise against nation. Well, there's always going to be war. A war somewhere doesn't mean that that is the sign that Jesus is coming today, because there have always been wars. Jesus goes on to talk about how the women, and particularly the pregnant women, will be badly affected by war. And I've seen that in Africa. Women who've telling me that they've been raped because rape is a weapon of war. Women telling me that they've had to run away when they were pregnant, or seeing what was happening to the women and children at that time. Those things in themselves are not signs of the end. They are signs of evil in the world and telling us to watch what Jesus is doing and to see what he's doing. But one of the reasons that Jesus gives these very general pictures about what happens due to evil in the world is that his message is for every era that's happened since. So his message, first of all, was for the disciples. It's going to hit you. You don't know what's coming. He's going to die. They're going to be then sent out. There's going to be Stephen, who's martyred. There's going to be Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, who are put in prison. There's all sorts of things coming in the immediate future. So Jesus' message for those disciples was, you may want to follow me in the good times, but I want you to follow me in the bad times too. And then Jerusalem itself was going to be destroyed and the temple done away with in AD 70, not very long after Jesus died and rose again. And so his message is general for that situation as too. And then think about what's happening in our world now in Myanmar, where people are having to hide from the government, where Christians are having to meet in secret, or in Afghanistan. Have you thought about the situation of Christians in Afghanistan at the moment? These are times of trouble, and I've seen it in Uganda and Kenya and other countries where I've been working. People have had no work. They've been hungry. There's been a lack of food because they've had to stay home because of COVID. Now, you could say our situation's not as bad as any of those. Jesus' message was for them, is for them now in Myanmar, and it's his message for those in Afghanistan, but it's his message for us today as well. Our situation is not anywhere near as bad as those. But there's a sense in which when COVID came last year, we thought we'd be through it very soon. And I hear people saying now, another year, another year, and we still don't know how we're going to get out of it. So we face a situation of uncertainty, of not knowing what's going to happen next and how badly we're going to be affected. Or some of us are moving into the older years and are wondering how we're going to cope with getting older and frailer and the decisions we're going to have to make in the future. Or it may be that some of you are thinking about bringing children into the world. I remember my mother saying to me, she and her family were in business and they had to really tough it out during the Great Depression. And she said to me, we all decided we were not going to have children because it was too bad a world to bring children into. Fortunately, she changed her mind about that, or I wouldn't have been here because I'm her first child and then some others came along afterwards. But there's a sense in which I feel in our country and in Western world in particular, people are saying we're not going to have children, or we're going to be very wary about what we do in the future. And with those deepest warnings, some people are hiding away. They've gone to the emergency state. This world is so bad. I'm going to hide away. I'm going to be a prepper. I'm going to just make my own home a safe, secure place. Jesus is not saying that to the disciples. He's saying you need to see what's going on, but I'm going to call you to go into all the world and you're going to suffer and you're going to run into difficulty and you're going to be shipwrecked and you're going to be in prison, but I am going to be with you. That's the important message that he's giving here. So Jesus' words are words for every kind of future, and they're our words for today as well. But I want to give you two further pictures of what those words for us today might be. But first of all, I want to say, why should we watch? Why should we be in this state of watching and not hiding away? First of all, it's so we don't swerve off the road near Albany and get hurt, or not see the burning coming and take precautions. But we also need to interpret the signs well. We need to act wisely. God has not lost control. That's really important because it's our state of mind. People are talking about how the main effect of the pandemic and particularly the lockdowns is a psychological one. And so as Christians, we have a message of hope. We have a message that says, yes, your situation is bad and this is a hard thing to do, but Jesus knows and he's with us and Jesus is coming again. And that will put things right. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But also, Jesus is saying, I want you to recognize things that are true and the things that are not true, and not be led away by things that are not true. People are starting to write about who is most led away by the untruths about the pandemic and about the virus and the injections. And you know what they're saying? That evangelical Christians are the most vulnerable people to be led astray, away from the truth. That's quite a condemnation, isn't it? And so we need to be good at recognizing what is God's plan for the creation that he made, that he made our bodies, he gave us scientists, he gave us people who understand, who can give us good wisdom. And he also is saying, don't follow false messiahs. The way we recognize a false messiah is they don't glorify, they don't center on Jesus. And in particular, they don't recognize when he comes again. This is how the message presents these next few verses. Watch out for doomsday deceivers. many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, I am the one. They will deceive a lot of people. So how do we recognize Jesus? This is how we recognize Jesus. Following those hard times, sun will fade out, moon cloud over, stars fall out of the sky, cosmic powers tremble, and then they'll see the Son of Man enter in grand style, his arrival filling the sky. No one will miss it. No one will be able to match the coming of Jesus. You notice that word arrival that Peterson uses in his transcription here, arrival. We have in our Bible what's described as the advent. Jesus came into history, it's that same word. He came into history as a baby. And now that's the first, we call that the first advent, because the scriptures then go on to talk about the second coming of Jesus, the second time he's present with us in a full, complete way, the second advent or his arrival. And that is really important for us, because what it tells us is, why is it important to think about Jesus as the hope and coming back? How does that change our perspective about what's happening for us here and now and what is going to happen for us in the future? First thing is that Jesus Christ, the Word, was in the beginning the Creator. And so Jesus returning again is a completion. He is present at the beginning as Creator. He is present at the end. And this word Christ is an interesting one, because mostly in this church we talk about Jesus because we focus on the Gospels and we focus on what we know about following Jesus. But the word Christ is used in the latter part of our New Testaments. It is the Greek word for Messiah, but it takes on a new meaning. It takes on the meaning of the one who is in charge of the cosmos. He is the one who is glorified as the Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God. And so when we think about this world, we know that God is still in control, but the picture of Christ as Christ of the cosmos, particularly that Colossians gives us a picture of, is a great comfort to us, because Jesus was there, he's there at the beginning, he's there at the end, and so we know that the world is not coming to a terrible end without Jesus knowing what's happening. And secondly, it's important to look at that second coming of Jesus, his new arrival, his second advent, as the completion of the work that he begins in our heart now. All of us who've come to know Christ have known the difference he makes in changing us and helping us overcome bad habits and giving us love we don't think it's possible to love. But all of us know we don't reach the maximum of that. When he comes again, he will complete in our lives what he's already begun through the works of the Holy Spirit, and that will be a wonderful fulfillment. Everything that we dream of being unselfish, of being able to give ourselves to other people, he will complete in us. But there is a bigger picture too. He will deal with evil and injustice. And some of you, I know, are really driven with that sense of it's not fair, these things that happen. We have all these vaccines and people in Africa hardly have any. It's not fair. What can I do about it? And sometimes, some of us in particular, are called to that kind of ministry of making sure that injustice is coming in. But it won't be completed until Jesus comes again. And then that will be a wonderful thing, because his completion at the second coming includes judgment as well. So he deals with the evil that really annoys us, that really says to us what's happening. It doesn't look like God is in control, but we know that he is, and he will bring all those things to pass. So that picture of how to look at the future comes partly from who he is and how we recognize him. But I want to give you another picture too, because we are the bearers of hope, and we are the ones who can bring into our world now an understanding of the future, which is realistic about how bad things are now and where this source of evil comes from, but also hopeful in the coming of Jesus again. This is a picture of Mount Ararat. I'm not sure whether I took it or Neil took it, but we went to Eastern Turkey at one stage, and this was looking up at Mount Ararat. And on the road down where we were near there, there was a sign that says, "Remains of Noah's Ark down this road." So I think it was being used as a tourist attraction, because I'm sure Noah's Ark remains are not there in Turkey now. But it reminded me of Noah. Somebody has said, Noah was asked to build a 3-story container in a dry paddock, expecting that God would come through on his promise. And God did. But God also came through on his warning about the flood. And what's more, you might say Sydney has just endured 100 days of being shut up in lockdown. Noah and his family had 300 days of locked up in that container with no view, a menagerie and 8 people. Can you imagine? But at the end of it, God did bring them out of it. And so we might want to continue on and say God will bring us out of pandemics and out of COVID, etc. But he gave them a promise that he was still involved in his world and he was still the one who knew what he needed to do about bringing things to completion. And he gave them the symbol of the rainbow. Now, I know rainbows have been hijacked these days as a symbol of diversity, and we can understand with 7 colours, yes, it's a good symbol of diversity. But the rainbow was God's idea first. And God's idea was to say, I am with you. There will never be this amount of destruction again. And it was the symbol, just as Jesus said when he gave the disciples that, go out into all the world. Lo, I am with you always. It was a symbol that God is bigger than everything else that's happening to us, bigger than any of the troubles we've just had. But he is with us. Now, it's a pretty rainbow and it's over some nice fields, not dry paddocks. But I want to show you one last picture. This is a rainbow over Perth. That's the Narrows Bridge in South Perth. And sometimes we think about rainbows and we think about the wonderful things that there are in the environment and in nature, and we think about how big and awesome is our God, and that's wonderful. And Neil and I have just done a whole trip looking at the wonder of nature and the wildflowers and the mountains and remembering how we used to climb them. But it was a wonderful trip. But I want to show you a rainbow over a city, our city, because the message of Jesus in Mark chapter 13 is, yes, there is a whole lot of things going to come upon you. Don't swerve. Don't go off the road. Hold steady to your trip. Be alert and not alarmed. Don't watch, but don't worry. But I am there with you. I am in control. So next time you see a rainbow over a city, remember that we are the holders of hope for the people of that city. God bless you. Let me pray. Our Father, you are so good. You are so good. And we can trust you. And we thank you that you don't make us naive or idealistic so that we are taken by surprise about what happens to us. Help us to be the holders of hope. Help us to know that people around us need to hear that things are not out of control. There is a future. There is a place for children. There's a place for us to thrive. Give us the strength to do that, just as those disciples needed it when they faced your death and they faced a world that was going to punish them. We thank you that you walk with us. Amen.